I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and guy who after 36 years still cannot properly time a haircut, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say howdy!
Howdy, folks. I'm Soren Bowie from the square state of Colorado. Dan, what do you mean you can't time a haircut? You mean you it ends up getting too long and you're like, oh, I should have done this weeks ago?
Yeah, I know roughly once a month is when I want to get a haircut. And then I forget when it comes up to that time. And then I try to schedule it with my barber. And this has happened 2 months in a row where he was busy the entire week that I wanted to get it cut.
Yep.
And so I had to schedule it the next week. And it inevitably... there is a period of my time where for non-sun and non-fitness reasons, I'm just wearing a hat all day. If I'm on Zoom calls at work and it's just like the hair is too long for me to do anything reasonable with it. So it just becomes hat time.
Thanks to Nutrafol for supporting Quick Question. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug-free. They use natural medical-grade botanicals in consistently effective dosages. Nutrafol can help you grow thicker, healthier hair, and you can support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription.
We want to thank Next Evo for supporting Quick Question. New great sponsor alert. Next Evo all natural products are backed by more scientific studies than any other CBD brand. Try Next Evo Naturals capsules, gummies, yum, mints, and topical creams, clinically proven to be better absorbed by your body. Get 25% off your first order of $40 or more at nextevo.com with promo code QQ.
Today's episode is sponsored by PayPal Honey. That's right. It has a new name, ladies and gentlemen. It's PayPal Honey. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. There are capitalist underpinnings that I don't understand where like suddenly there's a shortage of stuff or all of a sudden this one business has a ton of customers and they don't get it. Like that happens with home improvement right now where you just can't get somebody to come to your house. But it feels to me that the same thing has happened with barbers lately where like I just can't get an appointment.
Yeah.
Like everyone suddenly is all getting their hair cut at once. And so I did a new thing, which is I now have two barbers.
Oh.
So if one is full up, the other one still, I have somebody waiting in the wings who still knows what I want and like how to cut my hair.
I actually think my solution needs to be schedule it well in advance. Like when I get my next haircut, I should schedule like, hey man, a month from today, let's just put another one on the books around the same time.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, you don't know what your day, how your day is going to shake out a month in advance, do you?
That's true. I don't.
And you don't want to build, you don't want to have to like wake up one morning and be like, oh, I got to build my day around this haircut. A haircut should be you're finished work early and you're like, ah, yeah. I got a little bit of extra time. I should go get a quick number three on the sides.
Yeah.
And
it's generally for me like, oh, it's starting to get a little bit long here. I'm like one or two days away from this looking bad. I better schedule it now. And they're like, hey, we can't see you for 9 days. oh no. What a completely unpredictable situation.
There's a very funny thing that happened in, we use a website called Back Then for all of our photos of our children. It's just storage. It's a photo sharing and also storage. And if you look back, you're like, my children love to look back at pictures of themselves and like see the story of their own lives, yeah. For obvious reasons. And it's real funny when they get to like the pandemic pictures, because I was cutting Ronan's hair for so long, and I even cut Gilly's at one point, and the haircuts are so bad throughout the pandemic of my children that I'm like, oh man, I really made you suffer through that. My son gave Colleen a picture of himself for Mother's Day, and I'm like, oh, I fucked this picture up for sure. Like, this is a picture that will live on her desk forever. And it's like, every time I see it, I'm like, nah, we should have done better. We should have gotten a better haircut, because this is not, it's not doing it. It had kind of like a bowl cut for a little while, unintentionally. Yeah. I just don't know how to cut hair. And at the end, I was like, and now we have a straight across the front bowl cut, basically.
I do think that's one of those things that will be very funny eventually. But I also acknowledge that we're not there yet. Like, when we...
It's still fresh.
The first family Christmas together, where we all took a picture and we were wearing masks. At the time, I was like, this is going to be such a funny time capsule. And I looked at it recently, and I'm like, nope. Very upsetting. Deeply traumatic. I remember being very sad that day. This sucks. Maybe 5 more years. I don't know.
When my daughter was born, I had her in the hospital. My wife was asleep, and I was just really coddling her because she was crying. And I walk past the bathroom mirror of the little room that we're staying in, and I see that we had to wear masks the entire time. This was April of 2020. Mm-hmm. So like the height of the terror, where no one really knew what this thing was yet, and no one knew if we were allowed to go outside or what. So I'm wearing a mask and holding my daughter, and I walk past a mirror, and I'm like, oh, I should capture this moment. She will be very interested to hear about the pandemic and like what that was like. And like, maybe she'll see this picture someday and be like, why were you wearing a mask? And I'd be like, ah, let me tell you about this time. And you know, at this point in time, I'm thinking, no, that will just be her life.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Forever. The mask will not seem strange. The mask will be like, yeah, of course you were wearing a mask. You were in a hospital with a bunch of other people indoors.
Yeah. Do you remember at the start of the pandemic when I was wearing suits every day as a bit?
Yes.
I don't feel great about that. Whenever my phone is like, hey, here's just like we made a slideshow of portraits, and I see me wearing a suit. I'm like, oh man, somebody help that guy.
Whoa, we were all brand new. It was like being a teenager again. You're like, I got to negotiate this world. I got to figure out how I fit in.
I definitely thought at the time, like, wouldn't it be funny if I was wearing a suit during the pandemic, walking my dog, because I need to be outside every day to walk my dog. So wouldn't it be funny, the guy who puts on a suit, and maybe even a little inspiring. And I was like, no, man, you should have just realized pretty early on, this isn't about you. Get in some fucking sweats, get real comfortable real quick.
I run past a house every day that at the beginning of the pandemic, they put out their Christmas decorations with masks. So like they had an inflatable bear, but it was clearly like a Santa type bear. Mm-hmm. And they put a little mask on it, just as like a, hey, we're all in this together kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, here, look at something nice. Look at something cute. Yeah. And the bear is still out. And at this point, I'm like, you're going to have to pull the trigger and just take that thing down. I know it's going to be sad for you for a moment. There might be somebody driving by occasionally be like, oh, man, they took the bear down. But it's too long. The bear is now sun-soaked. Like, it's already, in certain areas of it are getting really pale.
Inflatable, you said?
Yeah.
This has got to be cost prohibitive, too. What are you using to inflate that thing?
Yeah, got it's electricity.
Some kind of motor? Yeah. Oh, no.
Exactly. It's got a little fan attached to it. they have the lights out. They don't turn the lights on anymore, but they have the bear out. And it was nice at first because, you know, it was the beginning of the season. It was like weird time for Christmas decorations, but everyone was like, I get what you're doing. And then Christmas rolled around and they didn't have to do anything. And it was like, oh, all right, you made it. And then Christmas rolled around again. And at this point, it's the middle of summer again. And I'm like, you just pull it. Yeah. I mean, pull the plug. Take it off life support.
Well, Soren, it's interesting that we were talking about kids back there. Quick question.
Well, let me just look in the rearview mirror. Oh, yeah, there it is. There's us talking about kids. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Would you let me babysit your kids?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, really? Oh,
cool. In a heartbeat. Yeah. Man.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. I did my first adventure in what I would describe as babysitting. Like, I've hung out solo with my nephew, but he's 10, and we've just had like dude days essentially at the beach or at Chili's or whatever. And yeah. I think I've sort of been around the older nieces and nephews when my oldest brother and sister-in-law, when they were off at like parent-teacher conferences, where I'm mostly just like sitting around for a couple hours while Fortnite is being played and coloring is happening and studying is happening.
Yeah, the parents have scheduled what the kids will be doing, and yeah, you just show up to monitor. It's a study hall.
Yeah. But a couple of weeks ago, my other brother and sister-in-law were in a bind, and they had a wedding to go to, and they were like, hey, if you're free or interested, will you watch the 5- and 2-year-old and like give them dinner and put them to sleep?
Yes.
And it was the kind of thing that I said yes immediately to, and hanging up the phone, I was like, they wouldn't ask me to do that if they didn't think I could. So even if I maybe don't think I can, I got to just ignore that voice and listen to their trust. And it was great. It went super well. It was very fun. It was really just, it was easy because there's plenty of stuff to do. And also it's very exciting for them, for me to be there. This is a new thing, and they know it's a new thing. And they're not like surprised by it. It's like, oh, you're going to have a fun night with Uncle. And I brought a new game. They didn't have Don't Break the Ice, so I brought that. Yeah. And that was a hit. And
do they still make that game, or do you have it from like the 90s?
They still make that game. Okay. And I have a 90s version of Don't Wake Daddy that came with my beach house. That is fully broken, but they still like it anyway.
Okay.
We played Don't Break the Ice, and they were like, can you set this up again? I was like, buddy, I will set this up 10,000 fucking times tonight. Where if this is going to keep you occupied until it's bedtime, then yeah, there's no shortage of how many times I'm going to set this game up.
Now, did the 2-year-old ruin the game?
No, not at all.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're really good with each other. We played games and had a big dance party. They really like picking songs with the Amazon robot that lives in all of our houses, the smart speakers. That's a fun game for them to just request songs and then dance and do fun tricks. And before we know it, it's time to eat. Before we know it, it's time to wind down with Sesame Street, which still fucking rules so hard. And then it was story time for bedtime. And this was, my brother prepped me for this. We was like, the 2-year-old, she is going to, you're going to read a couple of books to two of them, then go off solo with the 2-year-old, and then go back to the 5-year-old and read books to him. And the 2-year-old is going to want to negotiate. And you just read however many you want. Read two books. Say you're going to do two books. And I was prepared, like they do this every night. I know what I'm getting into. And I was like, all right, it's time for a story. And she pulls out 5 books. I said, let's do 1 book. She said, 5 books. I said, let's do 2 books. And she said, how about 4 books? Like, all right. Why don't we do 3 books? So Soren, we did 6 books.
Yeah, I know. I know how this goes.
I don't know how that happened. That was a real, real surprise to me. I thought I'd got us down to 3, and then here I was reading my 6th book.
Let me ask you a question. Did you just like fire straight from 1 into 2, or did you give a little preamble before even number 2, where you're like, now this is the second to last book that we're going to be doing?
No, I thought that I went straight from 1 to 2, but I thought my strategy was sound because when she laid out 5 books, because she opened it with 5.
Yeah.
She laid out 5 and I said 1. And then when I got to 2, I was like, I picked one of the books. I was like, so we're going to do 2 and I'm picking one of them. So you just have to pick the other one, because I wanted her to feel like, oh, my choices, like, it's not just the amount of choices. It's like the quality of choices. I really need to make a decision soon. Because Uncle is clearly a shrewd negotiator. And surely he won't be here for 40 minutes reading literally until the second I'm asleep. And that is certainly what happened.
Did you notice recently you went out for a little while, you're out in the sun, hot summer day, and you came back in, you went, is my scalp sunburned? You just don't have the same coverage you used to have. What happened? Well, Nutrafol can help. You don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. So get ahead of thinning hair with Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. No drugs, no compromise. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. No more sunburn for you, my friend. Nutrafol's hair growth nutraceuticals go beyond genetics to multi-target the root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, aging, and lifestyle. It's basically like having somebody doing all the work for you on top of your head, where instead of you thinking about, oh, what could be all the causes for my balding? What is actually happening here? Nutrafol says, you know what? Sit down, hang tight, have a Dr. Pepper. I got this. Physician formulated using natural medical grade ingredients, Nutrafol's drug-free patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. I know you were worried. So was I. Sexual health is fine. In a clinical study, men show progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 to 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. You can grow thicker, healthier hair, and you might as well support our show while doing it. Go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men. Promo code QQ.
Have you ever tried a CBD product and wondered if it was working? Spoiler alert, that means it wasn't. Next Evo Naturals developed Smart Sorb technology, clinically proven to help your body absorb CBD 4 times better than regular CBD oil, because oil just doesn't mix with your water-based body. Oh, it works faster too. If you feel stress coming on, you won't waste time wondering, is this working? I used Next Evo's gummies because I love gummies and I love anything that can help me feel less stressed or relax after a long day. The gummies were great. I had them after a long day. I was hosting a party with some friends and their many children here at my beach house, and it was all done. It was a successful party, but I was still wired from the party of it all that after I cleaned my house, I tried these CBD gummies and I relaxed and I slept better and I felt less stress. It was great. Smart Sorb technology improves CBD's ability to be absorbed, getting into your system in as little as 10 minutes. Most CBD oil found in tinctures, gummies, and capsules achieves between 2% and 10% absorption. Yuck, which means more than 90% of what you think you're getting is actually wasted. Next Evo Naturals are scientifically formulated to deliver more CBD in a way your body can actually use and fast. Proven 29 times better absorption in the first 30 minutes. Next Evo isn't just another CBD company. Their all-natural products are backed by more scientific studies than any other CBD brand developed by experienced consumer healthcare and pharmaceutical professionals. It's vegan, that's good for me, GMO-free, gluten-free, THC-free capsules and gummies derived from 100% U.S.-grown hemp. Stop wondering if CBD is right for you. Try Next Evo Naturals capsules, gummies, mints, and topical creams clinically proven to be better absorbed by your body. Get 25% off your next order of $40 or more at nextevo.com with promo code QQ. That's 25% off at nextevo.com, promo code QQ.
Yeah, we get stuck in those situations a lot where like Gilly's favorite thing is to say 1 minute. It doesn't matter if she hates what she's doing. It's like, it's just her being in control. So if we're like, we're going to stop doing this and start doing something else, she's like, 1 minute. And we're like, okay, 1 minute it is. And then you get to the end of that 1 minute and guaranteed she's going to go 1 minute. And you got to be like, no, we gave you the minute. And then there's a little fight. Like there's a little tussle where she's like, no, 1 minute. We're like, no, we gave you the minute. The minute's over.
Yeah.
And occasionally we cave and we're like, all right, just yeah.
Right. Because
a minute.
That's so. What an easy offer. A minute is so short. You know that. She doesn't know.
Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a minute. I mean, sometimes like I get to 30 seconds. I'm like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
We're done with it. We're done. You had your minute. But she just, they like contest everything. It's every single thing that you try to do, they contest it. And then you just have to kind of like pick your battles along the way.
Yeah.
I have a question about the 5-year-old.
Okay.
Did he do some substitute teacher type of shit? Was he like, oh, before we go to bed, we always get chocolate chip pancakes. Are you going to make those?
Not a single bit. I think he might have been really prepped by his parents to help me. He was okay. On like super good big brother mode and like making sure she brushed her teeth, making sure if they were going to both get something, like if they're both going to get a story or both going to get an episode of the shows they liked, she was going to be able to go first. He was very, very much like, I don't want to use her name. I don't know if I've used her name before, but let's just say Skeletor. He's like, Skeletor, you get to go. Make sure Skeletor gets her snack. Make sure Skeletor gets this. I think he was just psyched to have a job going into this where it was like, yeah, oh, Uncle and I are going to help babysit tonight.
Right. We're going to hang out.
Yeah.
But we gotta babysit this kid.
Yeah.
That's what a great peacekeeper. What a good older brother.
Yeah. It was super great, super fun. I don't think I could do it often because I would have fully read 1,000 books if asked to. Yeah. And also, when I put everyone to bed, I, like a lunatic, did nothing. There were still hours before the parents would get there because they were at a wedding. Yeah. And they were like out having fun. And I was like, all right, I know I've been here before and I've watched movies with them when the kids were asleep. But I don't know. I don't want to take any chances waking them up. So I just sat in total silence and darkness downstairs doing like 3 weeks of archived crossword puzzles on my phone and just like waiting in the dark for hours because I didn't want to run any risks of a noise happening and waking them up. Yeah.
That's not crazy. I think that's pretty normal. I think there's a lot of parents who still do that where they're like,
it doesn't seem sustainable because like you put the kids down and it's 8:30. It's like, well, I have to eat dinner now.
Well, you can see how like parents get locked into like a weird trap. They paint themselves into a corner where they will put the kids down and they're like, they just went down. I don't want to wake them up. So I'm going to be very quiet. And then the child gets used to no noise at all. And so the minute that you like try to break that mold, you're like, well, I mean, I could watch something. Now it's a different noise that they're not used to. Whereas if like right from the jump, if you're like, they go down, there's going to be sound. And for the first 2 weeks, this child might wake up a couple times. But after that, they'll just get used to the fact that there's ambient noise while they're sleeping and they will sleep through it. But you can't like anticipate that in the moment.
Yeah. I did realize I put them both down and I got downstairs and I was like, okay, now I just have to wait 2.5 hours for the parents to get home. And then I can, I've needed to go to the bathroom for quite a while. I should do that, actually. That's a real thing that I have been putting off and I haven't been thinking about.
Yeah. It's a terrifying moment to be in charge of somebody else's children.
Yes.
And I think, obviously, I have no context for it, but a terrifying moment to be in charge of somebody else's children when you're not used to being in charge of children at all.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah.
There are things that I'm sure there are things that I'm not even considering that I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah.
But I will say that the nice thing about being in charge of somebody else's children is that kids generally are a different child with somebody new. Yeah. And not totally new. I mean, you're an uncle, but the kids are not the same kids with their parents that they are for a teacher or something like that. Your kids are way better for other people than they are for you because they know that they can lean on you emotionally and that like they're going to test some limits and stuff because they want to and they need to, but they won't do that with somebody new. They'll kind of put all that on pause and be a different kid. Like there are kids who the parents will say, oh, my child doesn't nap. He just won't do it. And then the kid goes to preschool and naps every single day. And the parent is like, motherfucker.
I do. In addition to it being like incredibly fun and a thing I'm legitimately very, a service I'm very happy that I got to provide for them, to give them a night out. It also gave me a tremendous confidence boost where it just so happened that the day after I was babysitting, my neighbor called me and he was in a real bind and could I watch his dog for a couple of days? And I was like, buddy, I can do fucking anything. You got me at just the right time. And it was very easy. Like I didn't have to, like the dog didn't have to mingle with Jackson ever. I just went up to this guy's place and walked the dog a few times a day. And we had a grand old time. We went on very long walks and had a blast. And now the dog comes up to my porch and says hi to me every day. And it's Buddy, I gotta tell you, it's we're too far into this now for me to reveal that I don't know this dog's name, and I just started calling it Daenerys immediately. Like that, like my neighbor, I'm sure, told me in person once what her name was. And
I hope that this is a chocolate lab and you've just
no
just
I mean, it's like a 5-year-old beagle. It doesn't look anything like Daenerys. I just knew that it was a girl. And in all of the text exchange that I had with this guy, her name was never used. And I just immediately was like, all right, Daenerys or Danny. And now at this point, I am too embarrassed. I have to stop myself from saying that every time I see her.
Right.
Because I'm sure that's not her name. Would be the greatest coincidence of all time if it was. And I feel like if I started calling her Daenerys, it would shoot my chances of ever be granted any responsibility for her ever again. That my neighbor would be like, that's not her fuck. I told you her name. And I would be like, oh, I forgot. And then he would be like, it's on her collar. What's the matter with you? It's on her collar like all dogs. I didn't think to check, and I thought it would be safer if I just brainwashed her with a new name. Really sorry if that's made your life difficult at all.
It's as far as like just shots in the dark, I think that's a pretty intelligent choice.
Because you got a girl dog 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, chances are. And then also, you've picked a character from television who has like 6 names. Mm. Like, if this dog could be named Callie, and you could still call it Daenerys.
Yeah,
like because Lisi, like Lisa, like any. Mm-hmm. There's so many names that this dog can have, and you're still like you're within bounds to call her Daenerys.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a good choice.
She eventually warmed up to it.
It was startling for her at first.
Yeah, she was never.
She came around.
She was never responding to it in the beginning.
Thank God you stuck to your guns then and didn't just like pick a bunch of names and see what she responded to.
I do. It will be humiliating. I don't think I could ever ask him to do the same for me and take care of Jackson, because his dog is the easiest dog in the world. And he's like, she stays in a crate. She likes the crate. Wake her up, take her for a walk, give her a snack, put her back in the crate. At the end of the night, take her for a walk, give her dinner, put her back in the crate. And if you ever need anything for Jackson, let me know. I'll be like, no, he likes a little bit of hot water mixed in with his dry food in the morning. And I usually take him on 6 walks a day. And even if I'm not walking with him, I like to sit with him next to me on the couch. He likes to be on the porch. I move his bed around so it's always in the sun on the porch. You know what? I'm just going to not go on trips. I'm just going to hang out with my dog.
Yeah, it's having a pet now. I realized, like, I had a lot of indulgences that I curbed with my children where I was like, I know that this is bad in the long run. I've got it, like, set a precedent early on with our routine and everything. So I'm not giving them that 2-hour bedtime window where I'm like, and now we do this, and now we brush our teeth, and now we read another book, and now we have some hot chocolate, like any of that stuff that, like, you kind of want to do with your kid initially because it's fun for them. But I have all those indulgences with my cat, like, because I don't care. And so, like, the cat is now the cat doesn't eat unless you're petting it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you got to be in the room with it, giving it some pets. And it's not going to eat while you're giving it the pets. Like, while it's getting the pets, just putting its tail up and arching its back. Like, don't miss this spot. Hey, oh, you forgot it right here. But then you like take your hand away for a second. It's like, yeah, now I'll get a few bites in my mouth. Okay, go back to petting me.
Go back, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just like, it's untenable, but I don't care.
It's so easy to make pets happy, and it makes me feel very good. And I'll cook him rice and give him 1,000 pets and let him just like hang out with me as I move from couch to kitchen to porch and do my job all day, because I don't know.
There was a moment where when we were getting this podcast ready where your whatever reason your microphone or your headphones weren't working.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hear us, but we could hear you, and you said to your dog, Jackson, please get on the couch. And you hear him go, roof. And you're like, and you said, thank you. And he went, roof. And I was like, they're just talking to each other.
I did. You're being generous in that description. I was losing my cool a little bit because it continues to be 100 degrees. And I was dealing with sound issues with my microphone and my headphones, and every time our sound engineer and editor, super producer Gabe Hardest, would call me, it calls through my computer at the same time that it calls through my phone.
Yes.
And so I'm getting that noise doubled. And then one time when I was on the phone with Gabe troubleshooting this, someone else, some spam number, was calling me, and Jackson starts barking, and I'm like, not you two. I need something to cooperate with me right now.
I
raised my voice at him, and then I'm sure some part of me knew, you're on the phone and into a microphone with people right now, so there's a chance someone can hear you. So be on your best behavior, Daniel.
It's interesting because it didn't come across that way. It came across like you raised your voice with him, and then it sounded like you immediately were like, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, bud. thank you for doing that. I do that with my children in public, where they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or like my son is doing something that we talked about a million times, and like I know he's better than that, and so like I'll go hard at him. I'll be like, Ronan, what are you doing? Like, in a way that seems, if you're not if you don't have the context of our everydays, like if you're just somebody passing by and you see this, a child doing nothing, and then a dad being like, what are you doing? Put your shoes on. You'd be like, Jesus, that dad is tough on that kid. But, and so like, I catch myself in public or in my backyard. I'm like, I don't want the neighbors hearing this. I sound like a terrible person.
I found my cheat that I found, because this happened once before with Jackson being loud while I was doing a podcast with our friends, Michael Swaim and Abe Epperson, and he was barking at the delivery person, and I do what I usually do when he barks, which is, Jackson, thank you for letting me know that he's here. Good job. That's what I want you to do. Thank you. That's enough. And Michael was like, that's a really good strategy. You're not like yelling at him. And it doesn't make him sound like he's doing anything wrong. And I want to be clear, these are words Jackson doesn't understand. I'm using the tone of yelling. You could say anything, but if you say it with the right voice and making a face, then he's gonna feel bad.
Yeah.
He doesn't think I'm thanking him for shit.
Thank you. Thank you. I got it. Jackson's front legs fold and he twists just his lower body down onto the ground to be like, I'm as low as I can be. I'm so sorry.
Good job. You're protecting us. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah. Hey, how do you feel about online shopping? And how often do you do it? Do you feel like you're getting the best deals when you're out there online? I always think, you know what? I bet there's some coupons for this somewhere online, and I'm just too lazy to go find them. Well, thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Get in my rearview mirror, searching. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds right to your cart for you. It supports over 30,000 stores online, ranging from tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. So you make sure that you're always saving the most money that you possibly can when you're shopping online. So now, here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping for something online. You're on your favorite sites. What is that little hole in the wall, the mom and pop one, Amazon? You're there. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a couple of seconds and Honey searches the entire internet for coupons for that site. And if Honey finds a working coupon that will save you money, you just watch the prices drop. And you can add Honey to your iPhone too. Just enable it on Safari and you can find savings on the go. My family and I are going camping very soon. I'm very excited. It's the first time my daughter will go. I needed a sleeping bag for her. So I went online, I looked around, I found a sleeping bag that I liked. I went to go pay and I thought, wait, let's apply those Honey coupons. And Honey saved me $15. And it was so easy. It was easy. It's literally the click of a button. It couldn't be easier. It was the least I could do, literally. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. Thanks to PayPal Honey for sponsoring Quick Question.
Well, I'm glad that you've gotten all this experience with
first of all, that you got to level up, like that you got to move from kids to a dog. That's
yes,
great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, because you don't want to start with dog. That's scary.
No, absolutely not. Because they can like get anything in their mouth. You know, they can just like pick stuff up off the street and just start chewing on it. The kids, you give them Legos, you give them whatever. They know what to do. They're kids.
They know, yeah. I'm surprised that you think I wouldn't let you babysit. You're an attentive person.
Yeah.
And that's really all you want from a babysitter. You want somebody who's like, oh, this is the job. I'm going to do my best job at it.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, even if you have somebody who's brand new to it all, I think you still want somebody that's what I would always take over anything else, is somebody who's like, well, I will focus on this entirely.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't bother you that I hadn't changed a diaper, and the idea of I made a sandwich for the 2-year-old and gave it to her, and she looks at it and she goes, that's too big. I'm like, all right. Oh yes, that's right, your tiny mouth and your tiny body, that's right, I will make this smaller for you. All right, okay, good note.
It's also probably because they have the older brother is there, and in those senses, like, I know that Ronan knows Gilly's routine, he knows what she can and can't do. Like, if you gave her baby carrots, he'd be like, she won't eat that. She can't. She'll chew it for a little while, and then she'll spit it all out in kind of a paste.
That's excellent big brother stuff. But if he hears this podcast, he will know that he could completely manipulate me. I'm ceding authority to him now if I ever watch your children.
He would love that, and he would do a great job. He is such a rule follower just in his nature. Like, he's... I mean, 6 months from now, he's ready to babysit, honestly.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't have been, you know, if it wouldn't have been an issue where the state would take away my children, I would be like, yeah, Ronan, you're ready. You're ready to babysit. He loves the rules and he knows the system. And he's like, this is it. This is my opportunity to be in control.
Excellent.
Well, should we get into this show of ours?
Come on. That was the show. I started mine with quick question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a quick question for you.
The reason I'm being whiny about that is, like, I've brought nothing else. So,
that's fine. I have plenty for you. This is actually also related to children, but tangentially. Quick question, Dan. Do you read like a hard version of the newspaper? Not like it goes hard, like the paper version.
I read the adult newspaper, the where they tell you the real shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was forged in the school of hard knocks.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
Okay. We get a paper. We get a Los Angeles Times on Sunday, which means that we also get a comic section. And I don't know, when was the last time that you read Sunday comics?
It's got to be like fucking middle school or something.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah.
Now, I've always thought of the comics in a newspaper as like the watering hole of the newspaper, because no matter what demographic you've got, everybody's gonna have to go to the comics at some point. It's accessible for children, but also for adults, because sometimes they try and do topical things there. There's sometimes it's very nuanced. Like, there's satire in there about current events. Like, Doonesbury's always like that. Even the kids aren't necessarily getting that part. There's a lot of like stoicism and Taoism and the Peanuts. Like, there's a lot to be had from the comic section, and also it's right next to horoscopes, it's right next to the games, like crossword, Sudoku. So everybody at some point is like, oh, at least cracking the comics, and maybe like reading one while they're having cereal or whatever. I read them now because my children are interested in them, and I gotta tell you, they suck so hard, like harder than you can imagine.
Really?
Yeah. These are all syndicated comics, so it's not just a Los Angeles thing. They're so unbelievably awful now. And I don't think it's that I just grew out of them. I mean, Garfield has always been kind of like a very milquetoast, dumb comic. But Garfield's not in there anymore. There's a bunch of other comics that are, I would say, way worse than that. That feel like so lazy and half-assed, and at the same time, very desperate.
Are they... When you were mentioning like Doonesbury and Peanuts and whatnot, is that real? Are they still making those?
Doonesbury is, yes. Peanuts is not, but Peanuts gets recycled occasionally.
Is that guy fucking dead or what? Right?
Charles Schultz?
Schultz?
I think he's gone. Yeah. R.I.P. But he, I think that they're still, I don't think, I don't, I can't tell. I don't think they're doing new peanuts, but I, you know, these don't look like recycles either. Or at least I'm not recognizing them as that. But there's like, so there's, the Pearls Before Swine is one of them that like, there's a few other ones. There's one that's like a, that's really trying hard to be the Far Side. It's usually a single panel. And then stuff like Marmaduke is still in there, or Blondie is still in there. And everything still looks like the 1950s in those comics. And the jokes, though, are it's clear that like somebody has a cell phone in it or something like that. So I guess people are still making those. And boy, man, the comics are so rough. It's like if you, I'm trying to think of like, even before you had a column and you were like really proud of what you would create in a week. Like at school, if you had to do something regularly and you're like, well, what am I going to do this week? And you just start, you just kind of like start phoning it in. You'd be like, well, in this one, I'm going to make a joke about negative space. So three of my four panels will just be blank. And then my last panel will be inside baseball joke about writing comics. Like you start trying that kind of stuff. Yeah. And that's what the comics are now. It's so bad.
That's excellent. Why do you, I guess a follow-up question is, why do you read the newspaper every week?
No, I don't. But Colleen does. That's how I mean, she's not on social media or anything. She's not getting it on the internet. So she's catching up on her news every single night. When the kids are asleep, she's done with her work. She will go have a little cereal in the kitchen and she will just read the paper.
Huh. That seems really pleasant.
Yeah. It feels like it's from a different time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
She reads it by the lantern that's filled with whale blubber that we keep.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's definitely the only part that I read is the comics. And while reading it, every single time I'm reading it, I groan at the end. And Ronan goes, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, here." And then, like, I'm trying to explain to him, like, dissecting the bird to find the song. I'm like, yeah. here's what this is, and here's what they're trying to do, and here's why it's not working. And he's like, okay, yeah. Moving on.
It seems like it would be a very interesting thing to study, and I'm basing that entirely off of our friend Jamie Loftus's podcast about the Kathy comic strip. Yeah. Comic strip, ACCast, because I know nothing about Sunday newspaper comics, like truly nothing. I remember Far Side and laughing that. I'm aware of like the existence of Marmaduke, Garfield, Heathcliff, Blondie, Doonesbury, Dilbert.
That's
like
still
all
there,
the,
by the way.
All the major hits. Oh, good. Good. Yeah. All those major hits, but like I don't really know. I guess I'm the most familiar with Charlie Brown. There was always a very simple, straightforward setup and punchline within that show that was largely about Charlie Brown being a fucking loser who all of his friends torture and abuse.
Yeah.
But like in general, I don't know anything about these comics beyond broad strokes. So like learning about the Kathy comic strip for really the first time. Before this podcast, if you had to put a gun to my head and ask me about Kathy, which a lot of people, to be fair, have done, I would mostly go from like, oh, I remember a 30 Rock joke about Kathy where it was described as Kathy saying chocolate, 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 ack. And that feels like a fair enough catch-all for that comic strip. Like, I didn't know that it was like year-long adventures where she had the same off-again, on-again boyfriend, and then she eventually married, and there was, like, workplace disputes, and she had this abusive boss. Like, it's fascinating to me because, as a complete outsider, I assume comics artists are just like, all right, what's a two-panel thing that my stupid character can get into today? What can, you know, the Hagar the Horrible, what dumb caveman thing or Viking thing, whatever, can he do in two panels this week? It hadn't occurred to me that they were like, and of course they are, building long narratives two or three strips at a time across literal decades. I really assumed it was just going to be like one joke a week that I write. What can the family circus get into now? All right, they walk around in a park. All right, let me just draw that. And then next week, starting from scratch again, they walk around in a zoo, and I write 4 zoo jokes in each thing.
So Mike Davis has talked openly about how he created Garfield, and he said that it is similar to that, where he's like, after a while, it was so locked in that he takes 1 week a month, and during that week, he will just fire off like 14 comics. He'll just be like, all right. And then and then John probably comes in. He's hung up on the vet, but yeah. Garfield's not having it. He just spends a week writing, and then that's it. And then he's done. And he's just
it's
like,
gotta be like, we almost tried to do that with After Hours once when we got that show pretty locked in, where it was like, you know, if we just work really hard filming for a week, we don't have to do these for a fucking year. We could just bang these out.
If nobody sleeps for a Monday to Monday, we could get a lot of these done. So I guess part of the problem is also that I'm reading Calvin and Hobbes with my son. So I have a family friend, Aaron Marsh, who sent Ronan every single, like there's like 3 giant hardbound volumes. Each one of these weighs about 20 pounds of all of the work of Calvin and Hobbes, like from the start to the end. And Ronan loves it. He doesn't understand a single joke in it, but he loves the idea of a panel starts, you're presented with a concept, then you get this turn, then there's like something else that happens, and finally there's a payoff. And sometimes I'll check in with him. I'll be like, did you understand what happened there? And occasionally he does, but a lot of times he has no idea. But he just likes he likes Calvin. Like, he likes the idea of it, that there's this 6-year-old. And every single one of them, this isn't like a highlights or best of Calvin and Hobbes. This is every single Calvin and Hobbes they ever made, or Bill Watterson ever made. And so as I'm reading it, they all hit. Like, they're all, not all of them are as good as other ones, but like even the lowest one is so good. It's still like, it's clearly he put a lot of thought into it. And in the design of everything, like how Calvin's looking at his mom as he's filling up a water balloon, like that kind of stuff, it's all very funny and good. Like, there's clear choices at every turn. And then I turn around and open up the Los Angeles Times, and I'm reading Pearls Before Swine, and they're going to do, it's just like this mouse with no shading and a pig, talking to a pig about cancel culture. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? What happened?
Wow. I'll have to check it out, I guess.
I wouldn't. But we were talking about with Kathy. That's what Bill Watterson did really well, was that he would have these one-offs or these like bottle, I don't know what you call it, a bottle panel or like a bottle comic. But then he also will have ones where they're like, and now Calvin and his family, in July, he'd do one where he'd be like, now Calvin and his family are going to this lake for a camping trip. And you're going to get 6 panels of them just being there. And so it doesn't matter if you come in the middle of it, because you're like, oh, okay, I guess Calvin's camping. But if you bother to go through all of them together, you're like, oh, there's like a really cohesive story here.
Yeah.
It's good. So good.
I guess I should show more respect for comics artists and not just assuming that you're doing chocolate act.
Well, I have to wonder
for 14 years.
Well, yeah, like Far Side, that was clearly like a lot of thought went into all. Some of those like are still, just thinking about them make me laugh so hard, and it's one panel. But I just have to wonder what happened. Like, I'm thinking about what it means to be a comic artist now. So you're drawing and you're writing at the same time. So that's clearly 2 skill sets that have to go together for this. And are they just paying peanuts? And that's why you just have like these people who are like, I'm not getting paid enough to care about this.
I don't know. Cause Dilbert's dad seems like he's impossibly wealthy in a way that's very infuriating.
He does. Feels like, yeah. I wonder if that's because they branched out into commercialism. Like, you can get like a stress ball of Dilbert and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it is like Dilbert, I will say, unfortunately, is one of the ones that like you can count on to at least understand structure. Like, you understand, you know, like it's doing it. It's always going to do the same type of joke, but the joke is always going to be like this, the catch-22 of corporate America. And like, and you just, it devolves and devolves and devolves into like, how is this company still around? And then you're like, by the end, you're like, yeah, that's a fine comic. I get it. I get what he's doing. And so that's a little frustrating, because Dilbert's dad is just such a prick.
He's the worst.
But Like when Ronan will ask me to read them, there's always certain. Like, first of all, he has no interest in Doonesbury. He's like, no, I've learned my lesson. I got burned by Doonesbury. But like, we'll get to other ones, and he'll just be like, Leo or something like that, and he'll be like, let's read this one. And I'm like, oh, I know this one always sucks. This one always is a weird one where like nothing happens, nothing happens. It's like a parent sitting there watching TV, a child walks by with a stuffed rabbit, and then there's nothing again. It's just a parent watching TV, and they hear a noise. And then all of a sudden this rabbit is giant and the kid is wearing science goggles, I guess. And you're like, what? That's not a story. What did I just witness? But I will say also that it got me really interested in Sudoku again, because I'm just sitting there looking at it constantly and fiddling with it. And mm-hmm. I got really fucking good at Sudoku by myself, Dan.
Really? I don't think I was ever good at Sudoku. I was ever into it.
There are like little tricks that I realized along the way. It's like, I guess the rewarding feeling you would get from learning something on your own, where there are tricks that I've discovered along the way where I'm like, oh, I'm at a point now where I will never get stuck again in one of these. I know exactly what to do and what matters. And there's like no one to share that with. Yeah. I can't be like, go to Colleen and force an impossible one in her face and be like, look, it says impossible on the side, but it's done.
Yeah. I've been consumed with two major games that I play, or like two genres of games that I play every day that take up my mornings before the rest of the world wakes up. One of them is like this entire slew of Wordle and Wordle adjacent games. I was talking to a bunch of your friends about it at your birthday weekend, where there's like Wordle is a very popular guess this word in guess this five letter word in six guesses game. There's also Hurdle, guess the song 1 second at a time. Like if you can get it in 1 second, get it. If not, skip to the second. There's I think it's called Framed, where you have one frame of movie. There's another one called Actoral, even though it should be Actortal, and that's where you get like someone's IMDb filmography, but the letters in every movie are just X's. So all you have is like,
oh my God,
spaced out X's, the year the movie came out, the genre it was, and how well it, like what its IMDb score is. And then your buddy Joe Chandler sent me Moviedle, which they condense a whole movie into 1 second and they screen the second very quickly. So I go through all of these, my huge Rolodex, every single fucking day. And it was taking up most of my mental energy in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then the New York Times, where I do the crossword, I guess I play three games. I do the crossword every day. And I've been doing Spelling Bee, which is like a jumble. Do you play Spelling Bee at all?
No.
You just get a bunch of letters and you have to see however many words you can make in a day based on those letters. Okay. And they have to be a real word, and they have to include the center letter in every word that you use, and they have to be minimum four letters. That was a game that I'd been playing idly for so long, just like picking it up every once in a while. And they recently, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, added stats. They're now keeping track of how I'm doing.
Ooh.
And it's destroyed me, because I don't think there's like a maximum number of words that they will like definitively say, but they will say like, this is the most you can get on this words is 198 points or 200 points or 67 points, whatever it is. That's their, they've decided like this is where the best players get the highest amount of words. And like the rankings are nice, amazing, great. Let me see. Let me pull it up. Oh, so it's beginner, good start, moving up, good, solid, nice, great, amazing. And if you get what they've determined the highest score is, they call you genius.
Mm.
So now my app keeps track of how many times I've been a genius, and it's throttled my productivity. Absolutely destroyed me.
You see, you've been a genius a few times?
Yes.
Ah. That's what a tough life that is.
I've been a genius, looking at last week, 11 of 18.
Oh my God, Daniel.
Yeah.
See, the other games you were describing about movies and IMDb pages and stuff, I was like, I feel like Daniel Tyler Durden created this while he was sleeping. This seems like a game that's exclusively designed for you. But this other one, I'm amazed that you're destroying like that. Everything's got at least three letters, I assume.
At least four letters.
At least four letters. Wow.
Yeah.
And you're... You know a lot of words, buddy.
There's seven letters, and the center letter has to be used in every word that you spell.
Is there any consequence for just, like, guessing? Like, being like, what are these four letters together?
There's no consequence. No, it'll just say that's not a word. But it's not like you can guess... You can guess infinite amount of times and stumble on words that you didn't know were words.
Yes.
I've certainly done that, where I'm like, maybe dower is a word.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because it's in front of me. I knew that dower was a word. But it's a... D-O-U-R is kind of a strange word that you don't think about often. And I've certainly been in situations where I was like, let me just... This kind of sounds like a word, and I've been right. And there's no honor in that, but they don't keep track of honor. Keep track of genius.
So you don't also see how many attempts you've made in each one?
No. Thank God.
I mean, some pieces are falling into place for me. Right,
there's no one to pull me aside and be like, hey, you found a round. That was a great one. You got a lot of letters off that one. And then you played it six more times. Did you just keep forgetting that you found it? Yes, I did. Or maybe I thought you forgot.
I had a game that was similar to that on my phone, which was like, oh, it was basically a crossword type of thing, but you had to, it gave you a certain number of letters as they were like associated with one another in a big crisscross fashion. And then you had to just add it. You had a jumble of words at the bottom. And from those like seven letters at the bottom, you're like, oh, I could make winter out of this, and winter fits up there. And then it would just auto-populate once you made winter. And so it was that kind of thing where I was also then realized in playing the game that there was a clock at the top, and it was the end of the game for me. I couldn't play it anymore because I was obsessed with the time and like getting this done in a certain amount of time. And so I didn't focus on the game at all. It was only me missing the clock over and over again.
Man, I did that. This is certainly asshole behavior of me, but we talked about doing the crossword in the very early days of this podcast and how fast I like to be on the Monday puzzle and try to get that as fast as possible. And someone started DMing me on Twitter with no other context, just their Monday crossword puzzle score, their time, and I would reply back with my faster time, and I did that every single Monday without fail. This person, this was their entire relationship with me, was like, how'd I do this week? And I'm like, sorry, bitch, meet you by a minute and a half. Wake up earlier. And then he eventually just stopped doing it.
Did you feel anything?
No. I was like, good. Either find a lesser opponent, or better yet, stop it. This game is not for you.
Yeah.
Shout out to that person. That was a perfectly sweet interaction to have with me.
All right. Well, I think we can end the show here.
Yeah. The show is called Quick Question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. It's been a while since we've checked on his website. Gabe, do you have a website yet?
Actually, yeah. I just finished a website.
Gasp. Gasp.
Yeah, unfortunately, so it's not my website.
Son of a...
But I built a really cool website. Actually, I built a website for my mom, who's an author who just had her book published.
Whoa, what is this website? So what's the website?
So the website is kateangere.com, spelled like anger, so kateangere.com.
Nancy Turner loves it.
All the links to pre-order it right now or to get it, The Shinnery, a novel... Wow, by Kate, and she's going with Angier?
Angers.
Sure. Because Kate Anger's pretty cool.
It's a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
The Shinnery is inspired by an actual 19th century honor killing in Stonewall County, Texas.
Wow. A story of coming age, betrayal, and revenge. The Shinnery is inspired by the author's family history.
Holy snikey.
But yeah, I'm working on my website too, so I'll let you guys know.
Wow, cool. Me too. But could you just mark this and cut all this? Just I'm worried about time. We try to keep the podcast super tight, you know? Everyone, get your copy of The Shinnery at kateanger.com. Kate?
Angers.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Do we have to do all the other stuff? Can't we just end it?
No, let's end it there.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts, I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
Find it. I think you'll have a great time here. Yeah.